That's the theme for this morning, which is focusing on Jesus. Jesus being the answer to the questions that we have, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit as we conclude the family project. We started this way back in September when it was still warm outside, if you remember that. We began using the Family Project as our sermon series, and the point of it, we have life groups that we're meeting along with my sermon series as well, and the point of it was focus on the family's way of trying to make a difference in our family's lives now, in the here and now, today. How can we change the way things are going? So they call it a divine reflection. I said we were going to develop a theology of family. We all have families. We're born into families. What does that mean? What does that look like? How does God use that in the world? So we did a whole lot of studying in Genesis to understand this idea of image bearers, God's nature and how family exhibits God nature to the entire world, how we do that in families, whether it's marriage, whether it's our whole family, how the Trinity relates to one another and how families are supposed to do that. There was a lot of theology we were trying to lay down for us so that we could understand your family is pretty important to the future of this world. And we are saying that it's pretty important, I would say, and I'm suggesting why we chose a family project to changing anything that we're currently experiencing within our own country, within our own communities, our own families. And so Paul's going to give us some instruction about what that means for us going forward. And so this morning we're going to be looking in Colossians, and we're going to be talking about my imperfect family. We've been focused on family a lot, and we've certainly been talking about God's ideal for family. But this morning we're going to talk about my imperfect family and what that means. So before we get into the letter that Paul wrote to a church family in a city called Colossae, we're going to talk about our understanding of what family is. We all grow up with different images, different TV shows, different movies. The culture is constantly communicating to us what the perfect family looks like. And so we're going to talk about that. What does the perfect family look like? Can you think of a family in your mind that's a perfect family? Why are you laughing up here? My family's sitting on... No, you guys are not the example of the perfect family. I'm sorry. I don't mean to burst your bubble, but... So what does the perfect family look like? Does it look like... Well, that's pretty perfect. There's not much trouble there. Does it look like this? Is that the perfect family? Does anybody know what that show is? Father Knows Best. So... You and I, now I didn't because I wasn't alive when this was on, but everybody sitting in this room has been influenced by the way culture pictures family. And so oftentimes we're influenced by TV. When TV was created and everybody began getting TV sets in their homes, more and more people started watching TV, and now there's all kinds of statistics on how much TV kids are watching. Now it's not necessarily on an actual television set. It could be on one of these small devices. So all of us, every single one of us, have to admit we've been influenced in some way, shape, or form by the way culture pictures, images family. So maybe this was the perfect family, the image of the perfect family. Father Knows Best. Maybe this was the picture of the perfect family. Who's that family? The Brady Bunch, yeah. So here's another family that you got to grow up with, some of you, or some of you got to watch it on reruns. But this is a family that we watched, and you watch these kids grow up, and throughout the whole thing, they're giving you messages about how to raise a family, what a family looks like. Maybe this was a perfect family. Who's this? The Waltons. When I looked this up, so all I did was I did a Google search of TV shows in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and that's what I did, and I just picked a family. I didn't realize the Waltons were running as long as they were running, how long of a span of time span that they actually were making new episodes. But maybe this is a picture that you had in your mind of the perfect family, the Waltons. Or maybe this was an image of the perfect family, the Cosbys, the Huxtable family. How about this family? Maybe this was a picture of the perfect family. Who's this? The Tanner family, Full House. Now, this was a little bit different in that they were Danny, the father's wife, passed away, and Jesse, the uncle, the brother of the wife, and the friend Joey came and lived with him, and they, the three of them, were trying to raise a family. But we were getting images, a picture of this is what it looks like to raise a family. And so the culture is giving us these messages. You and I are getting them all the time. And the Family Project's saying we've got to be getting the right messages about how we're supposed to do family. And so now we have another family that maybe was the perfect family. Does anybody know this family? Family Matters. What's the last name of the family? Not the Urkels. Somebody said that this morning, the Urkels. No, he was just one of the characters. He was a neighbor. The Winslows. Yes, the Winslows. So now these, I went through the decades, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Some of them spanned, some started in the 70s, went into the 80s, you know, vice versa, that kind of thing, or 80s into 90s. But so I've reached the 90s now, and in all of these episodes, or all of these TV shows of families, and there were multiple to choose from. These aren't just the only ones that were on running in that time span. There were multiple ones. These are just the ones I picked. In most of these, from what I showed you in the 50s to the 90s, you were watching, the main characters were a family, mom, dad intact, having children. Oftentimes, the grandparents were in the TV show. In this particular one, the grandmother lived in their house with them. But if you've ever watched some of the other shows, I can't speak for Father Knows Best. I never watched it. But in many of the other shows, the grandparents were there, were still a part of it. I can remember the Cosby shows. Both sets of grandparents were in a lot of episodes in the Cosbys. But you were watching an intact family in a lot of ways. And then when I hit the 2000s, there were fewer and fewer TV shows that the main characters were mom and dad and the family. And we kind of just followed them around and watched them live life. I had a whole lot to choose from, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even in some of the 90s. And then when I got to 2000s forward, there was maybe one or two, at most two, three, that were actually watching a family where it's mom, dad, kids, and we're kind of following them around. Anybody know this one? Malcolm in the Middle. I never actually watched it. The last one, I use this often. Anybody know this one? Modern Family. Shame on you for knowing that. I use this TV show as a bad example. But what we've seen, I just spanned the decades. What we've seen is Hollywood's portrayal of the perfect family. Maybe they didn't call it the perfect family, but they were portraying family to you. We've seen quite a difference from the 1950s to 2010s. That was the last decade I looked at, the 2010s, because since we're still in it so far. And so we've seen a different image of family, and that's what all of us grew up with in some way, shape, or form. These images of family, and they've impacted us, they've affected us, and it's giving a picture of what family is all about. And so you go from watching predominantly a mom and a dad who have kids, and we're kind of following them around, and the other family members are coming in and out of the episodes, and we're kind of learning about family through that, to Modern Family, which is really telling us there is no definition anymore for what family is. Modern Family is everything and anything, and that's what we call family. The Family Project is suggesting something different as we're building this theology of family and why that's important. And yet it's starting to butt up against what family and the way family is being pictured to us on most of our screens, most of the movies we watch, families we watch on TV, things we hear about family. You go from father knows best in the 1950s to most dads nowadays being portrayed as doofuses. We're lucky they can chew gum and walk at the same time without falling over themselves. And they're not really super involved in directing and helping their kids know what it means to grow up and live life and give them advice and counsel and all that kind of stuff. So we go from those images, and we're getting those constantly, where we're seeing those all the time, and we are being influenced by them. And so the Family Project is trying to give us a different image. So what does the perfect family look like? Guess what? There is no perfect family. Hopefully you can say, I can stop trying to be the perfect family. There is no perfect family. It doesn't exist. We might see images of what we think is a perfect family. Studies have been done. People watching, specifically moms, viewing Facebook and Instagram, these images that are being shown. And the studies show that they are more depressed after viewing so many hours a week of Facebook than if they hadn't viewed those pictures, because what they think they're seeing are images of all these perfect families, and why is mine so screwed up, and I see all these wonderful families and they're all so happy. It's easy to fake that now, and the reality is there is no perfect family that exists, and we should be relieved about that. We don't have to feel like we've got to make our kids perfect, or if our kids didn't turn out perfect, we failed in some way. It doesn't work that way, but there are healthy families. There are stable families that are good for kids growing up in. There are flourishing families that, though they aren't perfect, they still flourish in life. There are families that exist that are good for societies. And so Paul, who is going to write this letter to a church in Colossae, he's going to list some things out in this letter about some vices and some virtues. And if you go to chapter 3 in Colossians, he talks about that list. That's what we're going to read. Immediately following that list in chapter 3, verse 18, he starts talking about Christian families. He starts talking about your family. If you are sitting in this church, he's saying in this letter to Colossae, he might as well be writing it to us. If you are sitting here, I'm talking to you and your family. And for me, it stands to reason that if Paul makes these comments that I'm about to read for you prior to talking about the family, then what he is saying to us as a church family on how we're supposed to be with one another, it stands to reason he says we should apply that into our own families as well. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to use what he is saying to our church family and say that it applies to our households as well. When you walk out of here and you go home, the family you're taking with you, it applies to you in that family. Because Paul knows something that we all know from the beginning of time and why God made such a big deal about this. Paul knows that that this church, you and I, and everybody else are influenced by the people we live with, by the people we live around, the cultures in which we grow up in. And if we're not careful, we'll start adopting their standards, their value system, and their way of thinking. This is why God made such a big deal about when Israel was going in the land of Canaan, the promised land. And he was saying that, I'm going to give you this land, and here's what I'm telling you to do, and push out the people that are there, because if you don't, here's what's probably going to happen. And it did happen. They started, Israel started, the very people God said, I'm going to use you to show the entire universe who I am. I'm going to use you to show them about my nature, about my character, about my relationship with you and the world. I'm going to show the world everything about me through you. And that's why it was so important that they didn't start adopting the standards, values, and ways of thinking of the Canaanites and the people around them that worshiped false gods. And yet that's exactly what they did. This reality is the exact reason why you care who your kids hang out with. You want your children, if you've already raised them, or if you're raising them now, we all do this. We want our children to hang out with the right crowd. Because we all can identify the bad crowd, and we don't want our kids hanging out with them. We want them hanging out with these kids. Why do we instinctively do that? Good answer. I agree. Because we know our children, if we're not careful, will start adopting the ways and the standards of their friends. Their friends who aren't living life the way that you are trying to raise your kids to live life or have raised your kids to live life. They'll start thinking the way that they think. And we're afraid of that because we know how easy it is for that to happen. And so God is saying the same thing to us. Paul is saying the same thing to this church. They are living in this city where they need to be careful not to adopt the ways and standards and value system of the people that they're living with, because it happens. You and I are influenced by the ways in which culture portrays family. And that is why the Family Project said, we are going to try and develop a theology, a divine reflection on what family looks like, so that we know this is what healthy family looks like. Not perfect family. All of our families are imperfect in some way, shape, or form. You probably are thinking back when you raised kids, boy, I would have done that a little bit differently if I had a do-over. In the midst of raising kids, you know you're not going to get it right all the time. It's just the reality. Maybe your family doesn't look like the way you hoped it would. And that's why this is so important, because God is in the process of redeeming our families, and we've got to make sure we're willing to not adopt the standards and values and ways of thinking around us. So I'm going to read for you in chapter 3 what Paul says to this church to let them know, make sure you don't do this. Here's what the way of the world looks like. Here's what God's people look like, our Christian family. And he begins this discussion in this letter in verse 1 of chapter 3, saying this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That basically means Paul is saying you are rooted in Christ. Your ability to live this way instead of the world's way is rooted in the fact that you are hidden in Christ. You have taken off the old self, which Paul will bring up again, and put on the new self. So the stuff I'm about to tell you, church, you can do. And the things I'm going to tell you about your families and your household, you can do, because you are rooted in Christ, raised with him. That is what he's telling us. In verse 5, he starts talking about the sexual immorality, impurity, that is happening in the city all around them. And I'm not going to go into that portion, because we'd be here even longer. But that portion, I could read that for you today, and it would sound like stuff that's happening today. The epidemic of pornography that we're dealing with in the United States of America is extremely detrimental in our families. The issues we're having with sex outside of marriage is extremely detrimental to our families. Everything that Paul is saying there in these vices of sexual immorality applies to us today. We're going to pick it up in verse 8. Where he says, but now you, church, he's talking to the church, must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger and rage and malice and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self. Paul said that also in 2 Corinthians. So since you have taken off the old self and its practices, its ways of thinking, its value system, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of Creator, therefore, I'm skipping verse 11, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul lists the vices and he lists the virtues. And he says, he closes this section in this way, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Basically saying all this is possible because of what God has done for you in Christ. And it's possible for you to live this way because you have taken off the old self and you've put on the new self. And he basically lists the vices and he lists the virtues. Now those virtues ought to sound familiar to you because not last week but 2 weeks ago I read for you the fruit of the Spirit, and there's a lot of them that seem pretty similar to the fruit of the Spirit. So he's talking about anger. It's this chronic feeling that you have within your family. There's a lot of tension within your family. It's not rage, which is more like a burst of anger. Like if you have a short temper, that's how you respond. He's saying that's not how we as God's people respond. If your immediate response is to fly off the handle, there is something wrong. That's what Paul is saying. That anger piece is more of, that's just kind of your attitude during the day. Everything seems to make you angry in some way. Your kids are doing stuff that make you angry. Your spouse is doing stuff that make you angry. It's this chronic feeling that kind of oozes over into malice, which means we're starting to take pot shots at one another. We're starting to know, okay, I know what pushes his buttons. I know what pushes her buttons, and I start saying and speaking in that way. I know what I can do or what I can say to someone in my family to get them because this really makes them mad, and they'll get upset right away. We're demeaning their reputation. We're talking about them in circles that if we were in front of them, we'd be ashamed to say what we just said to our friends. That filthy language is not simply talking about cursing, like you curse like a sailor. That's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about abusive language, like you say things that are hurtful. Because we not only have to worry about as Christians, we don't just think about is what I'm saying true or false. We've got to think about is what I'm saying hurtful or helpful? Is what am I about to say to my wife, my husband, my kids, my mom or my dad, my brother or my sister? Is what am I? It might be truthful, but is it going to be hurtful in the way that I say it? What is about to come out of my mouth going to be harmful? Or is it going to be encouraging? If your relationship in family looks like that, there is a problem. This list isn't exhaustive. Paul is simply really giving us an example of what the world looks like. There is a way the world operates as family, and there is a way that the church operates as family, God's family. Now, Paul is giving us the example of, okay, church, we know how the world treats one another. That's not how we're supposed to do it. He's talking about forgiving each other, bearing with one another. That's you and me doing that together as a church family. And as I said, it stands to reason that Paul is saying that same thing to our personal families, our households, the people that when we walk out of here, we go home and have dinner with, the people that we are going to have Thanksgiving dinner with. It stands to reason that these same virtues ought to be characteristics by which we as families operate. So which describes you? Which one describes you more? Is your house in chaos? Is your family constantly at each other's throats? Paul says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Is that how your home is? People there are thankful? Are you kind of one minute your friends, the next minute your enemies? You get hurt in some way, and so your immediate response is to hurt my spouse back. Your kids are more terrified of you than love you and obey you because they're just afraid of you. Your family is a mess. There is no peace. I don't know the last time I felt peace in my family. If that's your idea of family, if that's what you are experiencing, perhaps we're adopting the values of the world more so than the values that Paul is giving us here. Maybe we're adopting ways of thinking that the world thinks instead of the way that Paul is saying. See, if you're in a life group, we watch a video each session. And in that video, in the introduction, as the guy who is the narrator for the video introduces what we're about to watch, he says something like, "I've always heard about traditional family and how it's supposed to be good. And I'm being told that I'm the person that's weird now." I'm paraphrasing. He used the word traditional family. And what I don't want to say traditional family. I want to say that there is a way of doing family that adopts the value system that God has and the ways of thinking that God has. And if we're not careful as families representing God on this earth, we may find ourselves adopting the ways of the world. Because we are definitely being challenged today. You, follower of Jesus, trying to raise your family that way, you are being challenged today. As we sang in that song, there are many things formed against you from bringing your children up to know Jesus, from you walking with Jesus. And maybe it's not overtly or in your face right now, but it is happening. And all those things, compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, they sound so wonderful. Those traits, those characteristics, those things that should be defining our family are not things by which we just lay down and die. This doesn't mean, oh, I guess I just have to be a mat that the world gets to walk on. No, the reality is, as the pressure comes on you for following Jesus, as the pressure comes on your family for trying to adopt a value system that is very different than the world's, you're going to need those things. Because our immediate instinct and response will be to get upset. And maybe to start saying things that we shouldn't say. And maybe to start saying it in ways that we shouldn't say it. I did a sermon series on James. And at least three of those sermons were, it matters how you say what you say. I use the terminology tone, because that's how I always hear it. It's not what you're saying, Ted, it's your tone. I've used that example before. See, we are riddled with problems. We're not a perfect family. It matters how we respond to the pressure. That doesn't mean we just say, well, I guess we throw our hands up in the air. We lost it. This right here is us willing to fight for what we know is right and for our families. And to say there is a value system and there is a way of thinking and there is a standard that I am not going to cross. I'm planting my flag in the ground here and I'm not going to back down from that. I'm drawing my line in the sand and I'm not going to keep on drawing a new line. Oh, well, the culture says this about standards and family. I guess maybe I am a little old-fashioned, so I'll just make the line here. People are changing. My kids come home and they say these things about the way the culture is, and, oh, Mom and Dad, you're so old-fashioned. Well, I'll draw the line here. And slowly, we just keep drawing the line. It keeps backing up, and before long, there's nobody left to show the picture and image that God has given for family. We are living, and the Family Project's goal was for you and I to say, our families are worth it, and it's time for us to stick our flag in the ground and say, we are not budging from this. I'm not going to change my value system because it's unpopular. I'm not going to change my way of thinking because nobody else thinks that way anymore, when it's the way that God says, this is what family looks like. And I am going to have standards for my kids. I know your friends don't do this and they don't do this. And, you know, we're so weird in that way. But this is our standard and I'm not budging on it. But you've got to be willing to say that as a church. Because before long, the people that say we're followers of Jesus start representing and adopting the value system of the world. And now my family looks no different than any other family. And we're a mess and broken, and I have no clue how to make it all fit, how to bring it back into wholeness again. It's not talking about perfection. It's talking about wholeness. That you can exist as a family with peace. You're not at each other's throats all the time. You're not just saying something to get that person. Your immediate response isn't anger. Your family exists in such a way that says, man, why is your family like that? They're weird. They don't fight all the time. You sit down and have dinner together. You do stuff together. You like each other. You're thankful and grateful for what you have. You're not discontent with everything. Wouldn't you love to live in a family like that? God says you can. There's standards by which we as God's family, as God's people, need to just say, we're not budging on this. Because we are going to be pushed on adopting the ways of the world. I won't budge on, I really don't want my elementary aged daughter to sit in story time with drag queens. Men dressing up as women, going into elementary schools and libraries, and they're doing story time. I'm not making this up. You can Google it. There's reports in New York they're doing this, in California they're doing this, of course. In Texas they're doing this. I'm sorry, that is not normal, and I don't want my kid to be exposed to that. And that's not popular to say, and someone can, you know, Google this, and they'll be on YouTube, they'll listen to Ted Rathman in Schuylkill Haven preaching this message, and now it's hate speech. It is happening. We have got to be able to say, as God's people representing him on this earth, I'm not budging. I'm not going to adopt the value system. I'm sorry. Whatever that means for me, I'm not going to adopt it. Paul is giving us the way in which that we can change things as a family. If we're sitting there as a family and I'm saying, I'm just not happy with where my family's at, Paul's giving you a solution to that issue. Maybe your family isn't where you want it to be. And Paul's going to give us an answer on how God is in the process of redeeming our families. We're not perfect. We need that redemption. And guess what? You're in luck. God is in the process of redeeming your family. And you are a big part of that process. And so here's the solution to all of our problems. Here is how your family can exist in a state of peace and harmony. Okay? This is the answer. You've been sitting through all of these sermon series from the beginning of September till now for this answer. I'm about to give it to you. It's going to change your family forever. The answer to all of your problems is Jesus. Good night, everybody. I'm done. We'll see ya. Are you kidding? I sat through all that, Ted, and that's your Sunday school answer for all of my problems is Jesus? Yeah, it is. I know it's more complicated than that. There's a lot of nuances to that. But Paul is giving us the answer right here. In verse 9, when he says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self. You have taken off the old self and its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of your Creator. God is in the process of conforming you into the image of Jesus, and that means everything to the way your family operates. But it also means that I am taking off the old self, the old ways of thinking, the old value system, the old standards, and putting on the new self. So what does that mean, Ted? Do I have to show up in church every Sunday? Well, you should, but do I have to follow a certain set of rules? You know, we have all these vices and all these virtues. And the answer is no. There is no system out there of do's and don'ts. Christianity is not about do's and don'ts. There's no system out there that can create the image of God in you. There is only one way that happens. You can try as hard as you want. You can go to all kinds of parenting classes. You can go to all kinds of self-help classes. You can grow up in the church your whole life. But there is no system out there of do's and don'ts that can create the image of God in you. There is only one way that happens. It's by putting on the new self. By dying to yourself and saying to Jesus, I can't do it my way anymore, Jesus. I'm done doing it my way. that old value system, those old ways of thinking, it simply brought brokenness and emptiness in my life. The only answer to the problem of the lack of peace and harmony in your family's life is you putting on the new self. Yes, there's more to go along with that. Yes, there's other complicated factors. But when you break it all down, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. The brokenness of your family can still flourish and have health because of Jesus. Your ability to stand firm and not budge on those value systems is because of Jesus. Your ability to be different as a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a kid. Your ability to live out those virtues. How do I live with that compassion and patience and gentleness and peace? And I don't have that in my life. How do I live that? You can't do it on your own. That's what Paul's saying. You need Jesus to do that. It's time to take that relationship with Jesus serious. If you are unsatisfied with where you're at, with your family and God, then it's time to ask yourself, have I done that? Have I put off that old self and put on the new self? Have I said to God, I am done with my value system, God. I thought it was better than yours. It's not working. I know I have messed up in a lot of ways, God. I am done with the ways of thinking of the world. I am done adopting their standards and value systems. God, I screwed up in my life, and I acknowledge it, and I realize that, and I'm not sure what to do. That's the best place that you can be. Because you simply say, I'm done with that. I don't want it anymore. And you take off that old self, and you throw it over there. And Jesus says, I've got something new to offer you. I've got something better to offer you. And it happens with the relationship with me. When we turn from that life in the church, we call that repentance, which simply means I'm getting rid of that old value system, that old way of thinking, and I'm going to have a new way of thinking and a new value system. And God gives that to you. And that's why Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Yes, this is possible. The family you want is possible. The life you want is possible because you've been raised with Christ. You have died to yourself, and you put on that new self. And now, for the first time maybe, God can form the image of him in you. And your family can image who God is to the world. See, God uses family for an advertisement. You and I are walking advertisements of what God's grace can do in a human's life, in our family life. You are that living, breathing advertisement of the amazing power of the grace of God in your life and in your family. The invisible God has been revealed in us and in our families. The question that we have to ask ourselves, have I taken that seriously? And are we just spinning our wheels as a family? Is that happening because I've never taken off that old self, that value system? I've never gotten rid of that, those old ways of thinking, and actually put on the new self and tried to think the way God's called me to think, to try and actually live out that love and peace and patience and kindness, goodness and faithfulness and self-control, or these virtues that Paul gave us in this letter that he wrote, that we're able to operate and bear with one another and forgive one another, and we're able to act with patience with one another, and we're able to actually love each other, and we're able to actually have some peace in our families. Paul says that happens when we take off the old self and put on the new self. So yes, this whole series, my answer to the problems that ail us as a culture, as a society, as a community, is Jesus. That's my answer to it. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm here as a pastor, because I believe so strongly in that answer. Yes, I get tons of different family problems in my office, tons. And each one has its own little nuance and things that we try and talk about. But in the end, at the very bottom of it, nothing will change until God changes us and gives us a new heart with new desires and a new value system. If we're going to change anything in our world, in the community that you live in the school your kids go to, it's because we as a church take seriously the fact that we are walking advertisements of God's grace. And you've experienced that, and our kids get to experience that. If you've not experienced that in your life, please come talk to me. Call me this week. Set up a meeting with me. Talk to God when you leave. If you want to see something different happen in your family, in your life, the only way that that happens, Paul says, I agree with him, is by taking off that old self and saying, God, I am done with that. You are offering me something. I know I don't deserve it. I've done nothing to earn it. You are offering it to me because of your mercy, and I get to experience your grace. And when you do that, your life will be transformed. And I guarantee you, I do. I guarantee you your family will be different. I've experienced that. Many of you have experienced that. If you have not, please talk to me. Let's pray. God, we know that we live in a broken world. God, we live in a world that experiences brokenness seemingly on a daily basis. God, thank you for breaking into this world and redeeming it. God, thank you for reminding us that there is a way of thinking, a value system, standards by which you have called your people, the church, to live by, and that we are then called as your people, our families, our households, to stand firm on as well. God, help us to do that as we are rooted in Christ. God, thank you for making that possible. It seems impossible to have that kind of family life, but it is possible when we take off the old self and we put on the new self, being raised with Christ, dying to ourselves, taking up our cross, and walking with you daily. That's what it means. Not because we're going to do it perfectly, but because we wake up tomorrow morning and we say, Jesus, I'm going to try and do it your way today. Help me to do that. That's as easy as it is. That's as much as you want from us, Lord God. Thank you. God, I pray this morning that if there's anybody in here, Lord, that has not experienced that kind of new life, that new creation, that the kind of grace that you desire to pour out on that person, I pray, Lord, that you would just stir in their heart, that they would have a conversation with you, God, and just tell you that they're done with this old way of thinking, this old value system. They want to do life your way. Lord, if they need to talk to somebody about that, Lord, I pray they would contact me. God, your goodness is so real. We get to experience it in so many ways, and I think one of the best ways we experience that is a family that is sold out and devoted to you. God, help us to be a church full of families that are sold out and devoted to Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.